الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى اله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته الى يوم الدين ثم اما بعد to proceed. Last time we talked about asceticism and poverty, and we did talk about Sufism, and we said that the term Sufism is vague enough to the point where you cannot give a verdict on the term, because what does it mean? It is a very wide spectrum and a very vague term. We did talk about that sometimes in the books of Tazkiyah, unlike the books of Fiqh, there may be some leaning towards the virtue of poverty. The virtue of poverty. However, this should not be a culture propagated in an ummah, any ummah, in which you propagate a culture of the pursuit of poverty. It is an ummah that would be doomed to failure. I think the right culture that you should propagate is that you should become self-sufficient, that you have sufficiency. Your closeness, your proximity to Allah makes you feel gratified, satisfied. It's just, it's a satisfaction. So whether or not you have the dunya, you're satisfied by your relationship with Allah. Should you have the dunya, I said that as an ummah, we should have it. So as individuals, you cannot say the ummah should have the power, should have the wealth, should have the prosperity, and invite the individuals of this ummah to the opposite. Because the ummah is made but by, from those individuals. Therefore, the right approach to the issue of poverty and wealth is to preach to the people that there is no virtue for poverty over wealth, nor is there virtue for wealth over poverty. The virtue is for piety, not poverty and not wealth. It is for piety, whether you're poor or rich. You will seek what is good. The Prophet ﷺ said, احرص على ما ينفعك. The hadith is reported by Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ said, المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف وفي كل خير. The strong believer is more beloved to Allah than the weak one, and there is goodness in both. There is goodness in both. احرص على ما ينفعك. Seek that which is of benefit to you. احرص, be keen to have, be keen, احرص, be keen to have ما ينفعك, that which will be of benefit to you, that which will benefit you. واستعن بالله ولا تعجز, and seek help from Allah, and do not be powerless, do not be incapacitated, do not be powerless. ولا تقولن لشيء لو كان كذا لكان كذا وكذا. And don't say to anything, any event, had it been like this, it would have been this or that. Or had it been this, it would have been that. But say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. Allah decreed and His decree came to pass. Or He did what He willed. مَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. He did what He willed. So, this is a beautiful hadith. It has so much, you know, that you can learn from it. But the shahid, or the point that is important, that pertains to this subject, is, there are many points that pertain to the subject. But one of the points is, المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف. The strong believer is more beloved to Allah than the weak believer. Some of the scholars said that this is the strong in belief. But some of the scholars said that this is the strong believer, meaning the powerful, the capable. Some people are capable and some people are not. How do umam and nations prosper on the shoulders of the capable ones, the capable people. That's why the prophets used to make dua that Umar ibn Khattab or Amr ibn Hisham become Muslims. Amr ibn Hisham is Abu Jahl, and Umar ibn Khattab is the one who won the prize. So the issue here, why? Why? Because they are capable. They can benefit the ummah. They have the energy, they have the zeal, and they have the ability to benefit the ummah. So each one of us should try to be that man, that capable man who benefits the ummah, who brings in to the ummah. He does not live off of it. He does not live as a leech off the ummah, but he brings into the ummah and he benefits the ummah. How do you do this if you yourself are incapable? Incapable mentally, incapable financially, incapable in many ways. Well, does this mean that people who are poor, do not have much to bring into the ummah or to benefit the ummah with? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Yet those people who are poor, they do not have to be incapable in other areas. They do not have to be mentally incapable. They do not have to be spiritually incapable. Because some people are incapable in all areas. But those people who are poor, like, you know, Muhammad ibn Wasa, for instance, the Qutayba ibn Muslim, was waging a war, and it is Muhammad ibn al-Qasim, or who? Some one of the leaders, of the military leaders, and Muhammad ibn Wasa used to be part of his army. And he said, where is Muhammad ibn Wasa? Because he had some difficulty in the war. He said, where is Muhammad ibn Wasa? And it was said to him that Muhammad ibn Wasa is out there. We found him out there alone, raising his index finger, making dua. And he said, that index finger of Muhammad ibn Wasa is better for me than 1,000 horsemen. Than 1,000 horsemen. And this is true. But this man is not, you cannot say that this man is incapable. Well, first of all, he was a part of the army, fighting with the army, so he was capable in that sense, but he is spiritually more capable than anything else. And that is the benefit of that. So that the person who prays, you know, who makes qiyam half of the night, he cannot say that he does not bring into the ummah. He cannot be too materialistic. Yet, he is capable in some way. But the capability, the financial capability, the intellectual capability, the educational capability, is this something that is praiseworthy? Yes. Because the other scholars would say that had the hadith been talking about the stronger in faith, it would have been a given, right? Why do you have to say that the one who has stronger faith is more beloved to Allah than the one who has weaker faith? What information is there? There is no information here. Because that is a given. The one who is a stronger believer, the one who believes more in Allah, is more beloved to Allah. That is not information. That's not new information. But it would be new information if it was talking about that the two believers, one of them is stronger. Like one of them is Umar ibn Khattab. The other one, and I'm not going to mention any name of any Sahabi so that I'm not, you know, belittling any Sahabi, but the other one is not Umar ibn Khattab. You know, he may have the same faith, the same belief, but he's not Umar ibn Khattab. Therefore, he does not bring into the ummah like Umar ibn Khattab. Umar ibn Khattab, you know, in terms of leaders, he influenced the history of man more than anyone else after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as far as his influence. That's why Michael Hart puts him as number seven, the seventh most influential man in the history of man. So that's what it is. That's one benefit you get from this hadith pertaining to the issue of poverty here. That strength all kinds of strength, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَةٍ وَمَرْوَاتِ الْخَيْرِ. Prepare for them what you can prepare of power. And he said power. He did not specify any power. Every type of power, including the intellectual, scientific, economical, military, all kinds of power that you should prepare for the enemies to deter them from being unjust to you or unfair to you. So, as an ummah, I said you cannot. This cannot be a culture that you propagate to the ummah, and at the same time you're saying to the individuals poverty is superior to wealth. The other part in the hadith is احرص على ما ينفعك. Be keen to earn what will benefit you. احرص على ما ينفعك. Be keen to earn what will benefit you, or be keen to have what will benefit you. احرص على ما ينفعك. Is money of benefit to us? Does money have any benefit for us? Absolutely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا وَارْزُقُوهُمْ فِيهَا وَاكْسُوهُمْ وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. And do not give the feeble-minded your money. That is the ayah, and the scholars use to say that, you know, the feeble-minded people who waste their wealth, there should be hajj, which is, you know, hajr is to sever their financial hajr is just to prevent them from spending their money, basically. Let me explain it, because I'm blanking out on the word now. But hajr is to prevent them from wasting their money. And that applies to the young, but it applies to the old, who is feeble-minded or who is wasteful. And then you prevent them from wasting their money, because that money, Allah says, وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمْ. Do not give the feeble-minded your money. الَّذِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. That Allah had made to be a means of maintenance for you. Qiyama, qama is stood. So the nation does not stand except with money. It maintains the nation. It maintains the family. It maintains the individual. You need it to buy food. You need it to buy clothes. You need it for jihad. You need it for da'wah. You need it for education. You need it for everything. So the Prophet ﷺ, when Amr ibn al-As said to him, Ya Rasulullah, ma aslamtu min ajri al-mal. I did not become a Muslim for money. When the Prophet said to Amr ibn al-As, I'll send you, dispatch you on an expedition, fataslam wa taghnam, and you will be safe, and you also you taghnam, will have ghanima, booty of the war. Amr ibn al-As said to him, I did not become a Muslim for money. The Prophet ﷺ corrected him and said, نعم المال الصالح للرجل الصالح, or نعم المال الصالح للعبد الصالح, or as he said صلى الله عليه وسلم. So good money is good for a good man. That is a correction here for Amr ibn al-As. The Prophet ﷺ forbade people from castration, and he or told them that there will be no monkship in Islam. There shall be no monkship in Islam. لا رهبانية في الإسلام. No monkship in Islam. All of this is to prove that as an ummah, we do not give superiority to poverty over wealth, or wealth over poverty. We give superiority to piety when it comes to, you know, the spiritual superiority. Now, should we seek wealth? Yes, as an ummah we should seek wealth. As individuals, should we seek wealth? How could the ummah seek wealth if the individuals do not seek it? Yes, the individuals should seek it. When should they not seek it? when it is so clear that they can't seek it from halal, that I have to violate Allah's laws or Allah's commands to seek it, then in this case, stop. Don't seek it. Don't earn anything from haram. Also, if wealth will be, if you will not be able to handle it, it makes you a tyrant. It distracts you completely from the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this case, then wealth is evil for you. Then in this case, seeking wealth is not prescribed for you. Because it is either making you a tyrant, because some people when they get wealthy, they get too proud, they get too arrogant, they get too tyrant also with their family members, with their spouses, and so on, like Qarun did. So in this case, wealth and the pursuit of wealth is not prescribed for you. So there is no virtue for poverty over wealth, nor is there virtue for wealth over poverty. The virtue is for piety. And the second thing is, wealth is to be sought after by the individuals of this ummah, except in certain conditions. As long as you can have it from halal and spend it on halal, then it is good for you, given that it will not distract you from the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is zuhd about? If we're saying that you should be wealthy and you should be... So what is zuhd about? The fact that you're wealthy does not mean that you will eat caviar, that you will eat, you know, lobsters every day. You could eat very ordinary food, but be wealthy and have this money to spend it, on the education of your kids, to spend it on your own education, to spend it on da'wah, to spend it on the poor, to spend it on the orphans. Earn it and spend it. No one is telling you hoard it. But you do, hoarding is haram if you do not pay the zakat. You know, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ. This ayah, that those who hoard gold and silver and do not spend it in the cause of Allah, the Prophet ﷺ was asked by Salama. She had big rings, big, you know, gold rings, Salama's wife. And the Prophet looked at them and she said, أَهُوَ كَنْزٌ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Is this kanz? Kanz is like something hoarded, or, you know, like a treasure that is hoarded. Is this kanz, O Messenger of Allah? He said, مَا بَلَغَ أَن يُزَكَّى فَزُكِّيَ فَلَيْسَ بِكَنْزٍ. If it reaches the amount that is zakatable and then you pay the zakat on it, then it will not be kanz. It will not be a hoarded treasure. So that ayah has to be understood in this context. If you pay the zakat and if you pay the dues on your money, because the dues on your money could be more than the zakat. If you have paid all of your zakat and you found your neighbor starving, for instance, then you should help your neighbor in this case, despite the fact that you had paid all of your zakat. So there are dues in the money other than the zakat. If you had done all of this, then you're not hoarding. But what I'm trying to say is, you could be a zahid. You could eat, you know, very little food. You could have very, you know, average or sub-average clothes. But yet, it does not mean that you don't earn the money. Because now that's not what the Sahaba, radiallahu alayhim, did. That's not what the 10 best Sahaba did. Most of them were wealthy. So just have it and spend it on the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.